So this evening and the other Wednesdays, we're going to look at something that I believe many of us need to clarify. It's a continuation on the series Meetings and Perception. But we're going to be focusing on the voice of God. Right? How do you recognize the voice of God? We look at visions, dreams, revelations, things of that nature. So you can call it meetings and perception, but I'd rather call it, anyway, we will look at how to distinguish. So you know how to distinguish those things. Because some of us really don't even know there's something God does speaking to you. So we're going to find out how it happens and how, like I said, to distinguish voices. 1 Kings chapter 19 will be our text, and you know why shortly. 1 Kings 19. Now this is Elijah's experience. 1 Kings 19. In verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken my covenant, thy covenant, sorry, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. That's important. You must have said that. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, and after that, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Now, why does this become important? Because Romans chapter 11 quotes this. It quotes it as God speaking. Put it on the inverted comma. As God speaking. Romans 11, verse 3. Okay, let's start from 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elijah, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig thine own altars, and I'm left alone and they seek my life. Was that what we just read? What we're talking about, was that what we just read? Okay, so 4. But what saith the answer of God unto him? So the writer, that is Paul, said the answer of God. So let's get back to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. He says, a still small voice. He uses the word voice. In other words, there is a voice to what Elijah heard. Now pay very good attention. He calls it a voice, which is the word call. In the Hebrew, Q-O-L. Call. Now, when you have that, it is for a sound. So we'll come back to it a little bit. Let's pause and let's get back to it. A still small voice. In other words, there was a sound. A sound that was hearable. It wasn't a feeling. It was a sound. Okay. Now before we go further to investigate the sound, let's look at the word still. The word still also is from the word damam. Damam, D-A-M-A-M, refers to, or oftentimes when the word damam is used, it's a human voice. Damam, D-A-M-A-M. It's used for a human voice. And then it derives itself, pay attention please, from another term, damah, D-A-M-A-M-A-H. So 1 Kings 19:12, where you have it, still small voice. Then Psalm 107, verse 29. Psalm 107, verse 29. Psalm 107, and then verse 29. It says, it makes the storm a calm, so that the waves whereof were still. Still, that is, there was no noise to it. That's what he's saying. There was no noise to it. And so, but some other vocabularies will call it a whisper. I don't whisper to someone beside you. Say something, just say something. Like, you're handsome or you're beautiful, make sure handsome goes for the man. Here comes a woman and say, you're handsome, and turn to a man, you're beautiful. That could be an insult. So turn to someone beside you and whisper and say something. Hold on a little bit. Say it again. You whispered so quietly that I heard you. Can you whisper? Some of you don't even know how to whisper. Don't let anybody hear you. And everybody says, what were you telling him to that you're not here? You know, what are we whispering? So try and whisper. Still. Right now. Are you enemy? Did you see with an enemy? You whisper, that means you say softly. And there's a distinction in there. Because if a still small voice, in other words, it's like a whisper. Okay? So it causes a still small voice, a whisper. Now, I have acted dramas about God. I think on two occasions I played God behind the scenes. Didn't look like him anyway, but then. I don't think I used a whisper. I think how it sounded like, my son, something like that. Then it's always baritone. In fact, if you pick people in the drama, they say, this one can't act God, he can act the devil. So I fitted in more for the devil, and it's fine. It's okay. I miss the rapture every time. So I have people stretch forth their hands towards me and say, Lord, may what we acted never happen in our lives. And that's good. You know. Now look at this. It says a still small voice, then he uses the word small. Small means tiny and thin. Small means tiny and thin. It's so thin, you may pass it off. So, a whisper, you know, may go without being noticed. Now, do you notice that this was in contrast to the wind? I don't think there's a wind that goes unnoticed. Just makes some sound. Then I don't think an earthquake goes unnoticed, or else it was not an earthquake. It must have been cornflakes. And you don't know that in Nigeria when you talk about earthquakes. And then you talk about fire. Fire doesn't go unnoticed. Okay. Then he says, Lord wasn't there. But it was in a still, small voice. Because many times, we go for the spectacular, and then we miss the supernatural. Sometimes we go for the spectacular, and then we miss the supernatural. Pay attention here. Okay, so look at the word voice, and that's where I was going to read it. The voice. The word voice is the word qol, we said that earlier, Q-O-L, which means a sound, and it's used, listen to this, the first man who used the word qol was Moses in documenting the events of the Garden of Eden. And qol is used for a human voice. So there's nothing called a unique voice of God. That's not God. That voice sounded like my mommy's voice. It's God's voice. God's voice. Uses tenses like saith. That's not God. That's God. Saith, doeth, seeth, verily, verily. That's the Spirit of God. Are you here? What are you doing there? You don't think that that's God. But listen carefully. The word qol is used for a person or human being. It's a human voice. So let's see this. Go to Genesis 3 and 10. The first time the word call was used. So here is Moses. He says in Genesis 1, he says, God said in verse 3. And he uses the word God said a couple of times. In Genesis 1:6, God said. Then Genesis 1:9, God said. Genesis 1:11, God said. Genesis 1:14, God said. Genesis 1:24, God said. Genesis 1:26, God said. So he's about to describe God said. Then Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Did I say 8? No. Genesis chapter 3, I'm right. Verse 8. He says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Call the voice of the Lord God. In other words, a sound. Then verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Verse 10, thy voice. Verse 17, listen carefully now. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. The voice of thy wife. Genesis chapter 4 and 10. And he said, thou, what hast thou done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So, you have the word. Sound. In other words, a sound in the voice of God, or in the voice, there will be a sound. So, it's not a feeling. The voice of God is not a feeling. I feel like God is telling me. No, it's not. It's a voice. And the voice is just, you'll be able to recognize it, because if you can know how, if you can recognize how man speaks, then you recognize how God speaks. But Moses used the word call because Moses is borrowing human communication to relate how God speaks. So there is no unique voice of God such that you will say, hey, God is speaking. Because he makes a distinction between the earthquake, the wind, and then the fire. In 1 Kings 19. Now, again, we said it's a contrast to the wind, the fire, and the earthquake. Now, pay good attention to something. Did you observe again that the word call, the voice of God, was used for God only after Adam had sinned? Okay, let me say that again. Only after Adam, after he had sinned. The call of God. So, sin does not hinder the voice of God. Because we don't even hear about the voice of God until Adam sinned. So, before we go further, let me say this. I really want you to engage your mind in this series. Okay? So does God speak to the non-believer? Yes. Okay, let's put it like this so that you won't get scared and feel like there's nothing special about you being born again. Alright? Does the unsaved hear the voice of God? Yes. Are you following me? Very good. So, The voice came, don't forget again, very distinctively, is that it was in spiritual death. Genesis 3:8, man had sinned. His eyes were opened to the knowledge of good and evil, and he sinned. And go back to Romans 11, verse 4. Romans 11, verse 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll start from 2. We said, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not? What the scripture said of Elijah, how he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, you have killed thy prophets and dig down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my voice. But what saith the answer of God unto him? The word answer of God, alright, is the same word used for an oracle. I'll spell it for you. Is the word krematismos, I'll spell it, C-H-R-E-M-A-T-I-S-M-O-S, C-H-R-E-M-A-T-I-S-M-O-S. Is the same word used for an oracle, taken from another one, C-H-R-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O, krematizo. It's a response, an answer. Okay, a response, but an oracle. It's oftentimes used for something that was consulted. So it's used for a response to, or a reaction to something. We'll see how that comes in later. Now in Matthew chapter 2 verse 12. Same word here. Same word used for the answer of God. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart or should return to Herod, they departed unto their own country. That is Matthew 2 verse 12. Same word was used in Matthew 2 22. And he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod. He was afraid to go with her. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside unto the parts of Galilee. Now, notice the word warned of God. The first instance, they were non-Jews. Alright? They were non-Jews. These were the wise men from the east. And being warned of God, in other words, they were going back to Herod to report back that they had seen the king, that they saw the star. And so being warned of God, so something something is becoming prominent a little bit. The second instance, he wants to go back to Galilee and then being warned of God. So this terminology is used for a response or an action after an action or a reaction. That is, you set out to do something, this is the oracle of God. In other words, it's a response of God. So in the two instances, Matthew 2:12, Matthew 2:22, it was a response. So don't mind the word warned of God. Alright. It's a response to an action taken or about to be taken. Are you following what I'm saying? Good. Remember, in Elijah's case, he said, I'm the only prophet. There's no other person that is serving you. So that was a response to what he said, being warned of God. So Paul calls that the answer of God. Look at someone else. Luke 2:26. Which is slightly different, but we'll explain it later. Luke 2:26. This is Simeon, the priest. Luke 2:26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ revealed unto him. He was waiting for the consolation of Jesus. It was revealed that he will not see death before he sees the Christ. Same word. Luke 2:26, we're there. Acts 10:22. Acts 10:22. This is Peter. And this is what he said. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of Jews, was one from God by the holy angel to send unto him, unto his house, and to hear words of thee. So you see the word warned there is bad old English. It's not like to warn someone. It's actually to respond. In this instance, again, you know that Cornelius was offering alms, so that was a response. Are you following? Are you following? Very good. Then you find again, Acts 11:26. A bit different too. Acts 11:26. Okay. And the disciples were called Christians. Same word. That was a response to something they were doing. So the unbeliever called them Christians. It was a response. Romans 7:3. Romans 7:3. And if while a husband leaveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Again, a response to an action. A response to something someone does is always an action after another action. Are you following this? Okay, good. Then Hebrews 8:5. Moses. Hebrews 8:5. And we'll serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See? Admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. Moses was to make the tabernacle. God responded to what he was doing. Admonished of God is the same word Kremer teaches. Then Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, as yet moved with fear. Same word, warned of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Because a flood, right, was predicted, and then he was preaching, and this was a response of God. Again, Hebrews 12:25, the last one. Yet you refuse him that speaks, for if you escape not that refuse him that speaks on the earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from the heaven, that speaks from the heaven. Okay? Again, is a response to the law. You study that within the context. So, crematizo is like a response, a reaction to a particular event. It's always is like a response or a reaction to a particular event or a particular statement that is made. And so, we have said again that this has happened to the non-believer. We have seen it. Have we seen it? We've seen it happen to, well, from the Old Testament, God, of course, Adam had the voice of God. Then we had, who else did we see? Of course, Eve also did. Then we saw the wise men from the east, right? Who else did we see? What? Cornelius, right? Who was not born again. So, the question we probably will ask now is, we said, the core, that is what Elijah heard, was a voice. Okay? And when you use the word core, it's definite and distinctive. That is, it's a voice. You know, if you hear, it's not just a sound, like you hear a sound of a car on, where you honk the car's on and you hear it. No, this is a voice that is distinctive. Listen carefully now. The question will now be, and I'm going to ask you, we're going to solve it as we study. What Elijah heard, was it God's voice? The still, small voice Was it God's fault? Now, you could quickly say, well, this is God's voice, because the Bible says the answer of God. You see, let me just be cool. I say, well, what about Cornelius? In Cornelius' instance, do you know that it was an angel that actually told him to go and beckon on Peter? And then he said, being warned of God. So sometimes when you hear being warned of God, we may have to look closely to see who exactly was talking. Anyway, we'll leave that till another time. I hope you're thinking with me. Right? Are you thinking? You hear what I just said now? In Cornelius' case, who interacted with him? An angel. But what did Peter say? Being warned of God. So there are times it will be a third party. So once we look at it, we're going to just calm down. We'll get to that. We're going to investigate and see how do I treat those kind of information. You must never see angels, for example, as perfect messengers. We're all together here. You must say, you never see angels as perfect messengers. You know, in that way. So we'll see that shortly. Now, look at John 12, 28. Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven. Now, every time you hear a voice from heaven, the reason why they use the term heaven is because nobody around said it. So don't think that there was a loudspeaker that hovered over everybody and said, hey! It simply means a voice not from everyone gathered. So it's not like you will look up and find a baritone voice, I will glorify you. That's not what he's saying. It just means a voice. For example, if all of us gather together and there's something supernatural speaks, we say, well, that's a voice from heaven. Not necessarily that something out of this world spoke. Is that clear? Okay, look at 28 again. There came a sound from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Something amazing is that, you know, let me show you something funny. It's amazing what I'm about to show you. Every time they say the Father spoke in the four Gospels, it's never in red letter. I love that. It's in black and white. The only red letter is the one Jesus spoke. Go and observe it. Matthew 17:5, same thing. Also at John's baptism, isn't it? It's a problem. Okay, look at 30. Okay, let's look at 29. Sorry. The people therefore that stood by did what? Huh? They did what? They heard. Were they born again? Who were the people that were by him? Who? Were they his disciples? Well, the disciples were there, but surely not. Because by the time you read verse 34, the people answered him, those were not his disciples. Then the people stood by and heard it and said it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. So, somehow, did you think they heard exactly what was said? I'm asking a question. Did they hear exactly what was said? Huh? I'm asking a question. Did they hear exactly what was said? What do you think? Because they said it thundered. Well, they could hear it in a thunder form. And some said, an angel spoke to him. But notice something, this will probably help your study of this. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now again, this voice didn't come because of me, but for your sakes. So at each time that we have an audible voice like that, Jesus is saying it's not for me. It's for your sakes. For sakes of who? Those who were around him who at that point were not born again. So are we together here? So again, we have seen people who were not born again, they heard the voice of God, right? At least this one, Jesus himself said it. And it could not be an angel that said, I will glorify it. Isn't that true? Okay, so he says they heard it. Now he says, it's not for me, it was for your sakes. The sakes of those who were around him, who were not born again. So, can an unbeliever hear the voice of God? You're so quick. That's good. Are you sure you want to give this answer next week? Anyway, you made it right. Can an unbeliever hear the voice of God? At least tonight, yes. Unbeliever? Would the voice of God make him born again? Huh? Amen. Are we together? So here the sound. The same word, the voice, was in Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hearing him. Matthew 17:5. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. How come after doing that, John still said, are you the one to come? Should we expect another? Okay. So, the voice spoke and the unsaved heard it. So, look at Acts 10. So, in this instance, the Greek word here is the word phone, P-H-O-N-E. It is a transliteration of the word call, T-O-L. So he goes, Acts 10:13, this is Peter, in a vision. Pay attention. He was in a vision and saw heaven open. And a certain vessel, verse 11, descending unto him as it had been a great sheet neat at the four corners and let down to the earth. Now let me ask you a question. When he saw heaven open, what he was just saying was something that was not in the natural. That's what he's saying. It's not like it came from above. Okay? Just like when he said he heard a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, it's not above the roof. Just like, John the Baptist said, I heard the voice from heaven, is not above the roof. It simply means something that was not said amongst all of us here. Is that clear? It's not a loudspeaker and say, hello! And that should tell you that the rapture is not a trumpet in the atmosphere. Hello! Oh! My Lord has gone for me. That's a drama. It just means something that is not within human interaction. That's what it means. Are we making sense? Are we on the same page? Okay. So you don't have to leave the earth to hear from heaven. Or die. Oftentimes if people have to die to hear from heaven, they come back with rubbish. So now Acts 10:13. Okay, so wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts, verse 12, of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him. So there was first sight, then a voice. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, we're getting closer. This discussion will let you know who is talking. You can always know who he's talking by what was said. Rise, kill and eat. And then Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. Look at verse 15. Let's take it together. And the voice, so I said the voice. Very good. Let's go on. Speak unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed, thou shalt not conquer. That shows you is a third party statement. Am I making sense? What God has cleansed. So that is, he said, what God, that means it wasn't God speaking. Come on, guys, we're together. Are we together? It wasn't God speaking. And it's so clear, by the time he, in verse 17, and this is the issue with this kind of interactions with the supernatural. He doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen meant. And behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was son named Peter, was lodged there. Can we take verse 19 together? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, and go with them, doubting not, for I have sent. Are you following this interaction? Again? Notice in the vision, the voice was a third party voice. But in this, it wasn't third party. And the direction was clear. So you must know how to recognize voices. We'll get that to study. It was clear. I have sent them. The first one was not clear. Because as we're about to see, an angel was involved. And that angel did not act in his own authority, but cannot act beyond its intelligence. So the angel was responsible for that vision. The communication of the use of the symbolic, again, is not the Spirit of God. Let me see how I can follow what I'm saying. It's not the Spirit of God. It's not evil, but it's not the Spirit of God. Are we together here? All right. Come on, are we following? So, he says, the Spirit said to him, three men seek me, and it was so clear. I have sent them. Follow. And he acted by faith. So, was it an angel? Yes, it was. Look at verse 4. Verse 3. That was Cornelius. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the 10th, 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius. So Cornelius, listen carefully now. Cornelius saw a vision. Can an unbeliever see a vision? Huh? So seeing a vision is not a proof. Seeing things well. And he looked on and he was afraid and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers have done, are come out for a memorial before God. You see again? The third party will always sound out that way. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what you have to do. And the angel who spake unto Cornelius was departed. He called two of his household servants, and so on and so forth. So, notice again, this was an angel. Alright? But look at verse 19. Three men seek thee, arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, that before I have sent them. So that means what that angel said was from God. But the angel can't act beyond the intelligence of an angel. Are you following this? Are you listening? Okay, we'll examine that in the use of visions as we proceed further. So the angel was involved, and you can see that from verse 4 to 7. Look at Peter. He said, Cornelius, a just man, who feared God, verse 22, was warned of God by an holy angel to send for thee in this house to hear the words. He was warned of God, okay, that is prompted by God, by an holy angel. So an angel was used, okay, it was from God, in the same way we send you to preach the gospel. Jesus sent you, but the language is your own. In fact, sometimes when people are preaching, you need the audience to wear the whole armor of God. But the power is in the message, not the messenger. You just need to say, God wants to save you. He can forgive you. Yeah, because you're trying to use someone else's language. But you know, the person uses his own language. English is not, doesn't mean the other person is not sound. Just means he doesn't understand English. Yeah, because sometimes we make people feel because they can't speak English, their own language doesn't make sense. Praise God. And God speaks that language. We'll see that later. Come on. Okay, 22. So what man and angel, okay. Now look at Acts 11. See Peter's description. Verse 5. I was in a vision, he said that. And I heard a voice in fire say, Peter, arise, lay and eat. I said, not so, Lord. And 9 again, repeating what God has cleansed, call not common. This was done 3 times. Then he said in verse 12, let's take verse 12 together, Acts 11. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. So if it's the Spirit, there will be persuasion. Angels don't know how to persuade. He didn't doubt again. Nothing doubted. So he doubted when the angel communicated, didn't get it. But when the Spirit of God spoke to him, he got it. Let me see if you understand that. Is it clear? So you must be able to make distinctions. Okay? Well, let's go further. This will make sense. So he said, an angel, verse 12, I think. Yeah. Then him, verse 13, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. So we have an angel, and then we have the Spirit. Did you discover that we have two personalities in the same interaction? Huh? We have the Spirit, and where is the Spirit? Come on, in him. All right, good. Where was the angel? In him? No. Are you following me? Okay, are you following me? Alright, good. And so, he knew in the Spirit what to do. The angel, as usual, as they do oftentimes, couldn't pass across the message. An angel can't communicate to anyone about God like the most ignorant of believers. They don't have the capacity beyond that. Yet, in many visions, you will see an angel interacting. Okay? So look at 14. Are you learning something? You sure? Verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou on all thy house shall be saved? Who shall tell thee words? They often can't repeat those words. Because they desire to look into it. And the way Peter puts it in 1 Peter 1:12, is like a present tense continuous. They are desiring, they desire to look into it. So they can't, even the gospel, which is the gospel of salvation, an angel cannot handle it. He can't handle it. And that's why the old covenant, which was administered by the angels, had a lot of faults. Because it was administered by angels. Yet, you know that the way the Old Testament was given was so supernatural, so spectacular, pardon me. Very, very spectacular. Bah, 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 thunder, bah, bah. Lightning, fire, bah, oh. The new covenant had no noise. It was written in the heart. You get it? And you could get lost in the spectacular and miss the supernatural totally. Hallelujah. Are we together? Oh, I see. So, Acts 8. So can there be direction to a believer and you have an angel and then you have the Spirit? Huh? Okay. Okay, good. But you know that in the natural, that is, they're just kind of, you prepare the one you saw. Four-footed beast. Peter didn't know the meaning. Some of us have concluded, that's my grandmother. I can see. She spoke to her. Arise, kill and eat. I will kill her today. In the name of, some of us have eaten it in the day. Thank you, Father. I'm eating my grandmother. Hallelujah. Now look at, because just simple tell people that the Gentile can be saved. Angels use four-footed beasts. That's the best way to communicate that. Forget the Old Testament. That's what I'm trying to say. Just forget the law. I think food was, you know, the greatest thing to eat because Peter was hungry. Why are you laughing? It's true. I'm not joking. I mean, that's an angel for you. That's it. Four-footed beast. Arise, kill and eat. He didn't explain three times what God has spent in a commanding tone. Don't call on common. How would you understand that from beast for crying out loud? You know, for some of us, you just have gone start, you just start, praise the Lord, praise the let it four-footed beast. And that will be your ministry. Say, my ministry is to kill and eat four-footed beast. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Alright, let's see. So you must know how to distinguish things in the spirit. Even though it came from God, you must look at the medium. The same way you judge a preacher, you must judge things said in a vision by an angel. Let me see how the following is. Okay. Amen. It's going to be an interesting study. We'll look into some details. Amen. Okay. Acts 8. Let's get back there. Do you know that some folks will, the way some folks are probably trained, they will believe the vision and doubt the spirit. It's so simple. Shake me. Let me see something. It is the Lord. The Spirit spoke. He said, arise, go and move. I sent them. Confirmation. We'll look at this later. Acts 8. Okay? Verse 26. Notice again. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south on the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. That's all. Don't go. And you stay there. Desert International Apostolic Ministry. And he arose and went, and behold, that he saw a man of Ethiopia, Enoch of great authority, under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all our treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was turned and seen the chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Look at 29, let's take 29 together. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go there, join thyself to this chariot. Clarity. Are you there? But can you see again, the angel was involved. You can call that a vision, you can call that a revelation, but the clarity came by the Spirit. Do you know that it's very possible that if you are in a haste, you will not pay attention to what the Spirit said? If there's someone that jumps to the conclusion, just say, I have a ministry. You know, the Lord has been dealing with me. Meanwhile, you are not clear.
The Lord has been dealing with me about the desert. Desert. I just saw it. Desert. 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 Yes, desert. The east or the south of Jerusalem. Desert. 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 They go and print ministry bulletin. Apostolic desert teaching ministry. And oftentimes, Brother Hagin used to say that his breath is a bit slower than God. No matter how you blame Peter, that doubting helped him. Slow down a bit. If there's something you must never follow in life, it's a vision. You can use it, but don't follow it. Amen. The key thing in a vision is the voice, not the sight. The voice. If you listen very well to the voice, you will know who spoke. Like you're in a hurry, and then you are the kind of person that, you know, but the fact that Peter calmed down a bit, and he calmed down a little bit. He was, what's this? So he asks questions. So asking questions is not wrong. He asked a question, and he knew what it was about. Amen. I said, amen. Let me just say a personal experience. This may, I try to refrain from it, but there was a time in, from 22, 23 years ago, I had a vision, 23 actually, and I shared it with a friend. It was the wisest response I got. He just said, well, this was what he said. He said, I think you just pray about it. I don't know what this means. You know, because I just told him, I said, this is what I saw. I don't know what it means. But rather than take what he said, I felt, let me go to another deeper. And the guy said, yeah, the Lord's been dealing with me. And he said some things. But you know, I just said, no. That's it. If I had followed that vision to speak, to do things, you won't see me today. What I would have been doing will be worse than people carrying coconut. The thing I would have been doing, I would have given out live chicken. Let me leave the story. But the point was, the fact that I just waited, and over the years, what I saw becomes clear. Even the last few days, I just said, this is what it means. You know, it's just being patient. Hallelujah. Don't be patient. There's no point rushing to go and buy a four-footed beast. Or building a house in the desert. Calm down. Amen. Are you there? So, again, in the spirit comes clarity. Okay. And look at 39. And when they were come out of the water, the spirit of the Lord cut away Philip. You think like to see someone. Now, we have an issue here. Is it catching away, a direction, or a transportation? It could be both of them. We'll see. Was it a direction? Because it's snatching away, which can be used for both. It's used practically for a direction. I'm sorry, for a snatching away. But the way it was used here, it was used together with a direction. So it might not be that Philip disappeared. I didn't say he didn't. Don't quote me wrongly. I just said, think about it. Because he cut him away, and the Enoch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So, you know, Philip didn't land on a tree or something. We'll see what it means as we study. So, notice again, in an angel's report, it's not authoritative. It's confirmatory, but not authoritative. But there's one text I want us to look at, which will put a question mark on what we have just said now. Acts 27. This was Paul's experience. You know, Paul had said in verse 10, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and sheep, but also of our lives. That's what Paul said. He perceived. We have sorted this out in the teaching, leading a perception earlier on. That's a perception. But in verse 21, says you should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss. No, you hear that? There shall be no loss. Meanwhile, there was actually loss. I declare upon you, there shall be no loss. There was actually loss, but not of lives. So if you use this verse, if you know what this verse means, you will not quote it. It means things will be destroyed but you. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the sheep, like the car, the house, amen. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with you. Again, do you discover there is no direction? It's just God has given you again a third party. Wherefore, shall be of good cheer, for I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me, not as he told me. I believe God. Okay? So, notice something. In angelic interactions, pay attention to the pronouns. Are we together? Pay attention to the pronouns. By the time you see how angels appear and speak, you see it's not going to be, there won't be angel written all over the being. You have to be the one to make the distinction yourself. Okay? So, let's see a bit of angelic interactions again. Look at Matthew 1. Because we are going to look at dreams. Amen. For those Josephines and Josephs, some people just dream. They can dream. There was somebody that every time she dreamt in her fellowship down there, I said, go and sleep again. Pastor, I said, go and sleep again. You know, how can you teach you so much and everything about you is dreams? Are you Daniel? Dreams. I saw that thing happen yesterday in my dream. Amen. And many of us take all dreams too seriously. You know, if people take their dreams too seriously, and these things can divide families, can just cause Peter to just go and be killing four-footed beasts. Ah, Philip, where are you going? I'm obeying the law. I'm going to the desert. And he carries his bag and portmanteau. He's asking no questions. Okay, let's go for that. Matthew 1, are you learning something? See, we're not in the realm of confusion. We're in the realm of light. Hallelujah. That's why no prophet or prophets, no, there are prophets and prophetess, also prophets. Yeah. The minute somebody collects money is profiting. That's not a prophet. That's a thief. And he says, the Lord is telling you to connect to this particular blessing. And people don't collect naira again, you know. There's a reason for that. Even everyone recognizes the exchange rate. Matthew 1:20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for all which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay? She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you notice this, he didn't say my people. There's a distinction. It's always clear. There is a use of words that will let you know it's not God talking. Hallelujah. So, again, that's Matthew 1:20, right? Then look at Matthew 2:12. So you can understand what happened to Zechariah. Matthew, did I say Matthew? No. Okay, Matthew 2:12, yes. Right. Again, so can we Can we say, who spoke to the wise men? We will find out. So when we say being warned of God, does it necessarily mean God spoke directly? Huh? No. So we're going to find out whether it was God that spoke with them directly. And that will now take us back to Elijah later on. Okay? Matthew 2:12. Matthew 2:13 is the same thing. Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, arising the young child his mother, and flee unto Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. At this point, I mean, the angel he had was not specific. He would seek the young child. He didn't say the Savior to destroy him. Just carrying out an instruction. Again, there's no clarity. Verse 19. And the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, arise, take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, and for they are dead which saw the young child's life. There's no recognition of the person. When God spoke, this is my beloved son. But you can see how angels speak. So don't ever expect clarity, and it is from God. Let me see how you are following this. Are you following this? It was a vision. It was very super, very spectacular. Luke 1. So in every vision, don't close your eyes. You know what that means? That means pay attention. Luke 1, verse 11 to 13. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right hand of the altar of incense. And Zechariah saw it was troubled and fell upon him. He said, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And he went on and on, shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from the mother's womb. And that's one of the reasons why that information has been distorted. It was an angel that said it. How does one believe this? Anyway, there's an explanation for that. I will explain that later. Many of you have to turn to the Lord thy God. He shall go before him with power and spirit of Elijah. They knew him. Verse 17. To turn the heart of the father to the children, and is obedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now you and I know that this verse 17 is mixed up. Which people did he make ready? He made a way. All he did was point Jesus out. Again, look at the communication. Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in age. He said, I am Gabriel. Can you imagine the guy? He flaunted his seed. I was sent to speak unto you and to show the things that I did. Behold, you will be dumb. Why? The only way he could rebuke him was the way he knew to. That's what he knew. You know, these guys got, they grew up spiritually after a while. The guy kept quiet. And there's no authority, so no problem. He's just a priest under the law that the angels gave. So Luke 1:28. The angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Again, third party information. So you see that when angels speak, God is spoken in a third party, you know, pronoun. Is like, oh, third person pronoun, or second person, sorry. God said before him. Right? So in other words, those statements were never authoritative. They derived authority. And so when that happens, it calls for a believer who is born of the Spirit to pay attention and seek to know what was said in a more clear fashion. Look at 2 Peter 1. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? 2 Peter 1. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty, and he received from God the Father honor and glory. From there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let's take verse 18 together. "And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Look at this very well. It said, a voice came from heaven. Now, again, from where did the angels also speak? From heaven. So the word from heaven simply means outside human interaction. It doesn't mean above. I'm repeating myself for emphasis. It just means something spoke in a spectacular form. Now, it doesn't mean God spoke. Neither does it mean it did not come, it's not of God. Do you understand? Is that clear? So, it will be your responsibility. So, when we discover why does that happen, is one of the things we are studying anyway. So, now one thing is this, and write it down. When God speaks to you, you will know it clearly. One thing about when God talks is that you will not have a single iota of doubt. Those who say, "I don't know who spoke," whether it's not God that talks to you. When God talks to you, it comes with persuasion. You will not understand. You only not believe. You only reject. So, whenever the Spirit of God speaks to you, one clear thing about it is that it will be clear. There's clarity in it. In him is no darkness at all. There are no shadows to it. I will need to find out how it happens. Now again, you discover that sometimes it's because you are looking for the spectacular. And then you miss out on the supernatural. Amen. Are we together here? And that spectacular is the one that will cause you to doubt self many times. So, let's follow this. So when God speaks, or let's say when the Spirit speaks to you, it's clear. Now let's look at one other distinction. We'll view this accurately and adequately. Again, where is the Spirit? The Spirit is within the believer. The Spirit is within the believer. Amen. The Spirit of God, or the Spirit, is within the believer. In. That's vital. So, when the Spirit spoke to Peter, he will hear it like you are hearing me. When the angel spoke to Peter, he will hear it like you are hearing me. The way I spoke now, you heard me. But when it is the Spirit, no. He will know it. Because the angel is not in you. Not making any sense. We'll look at that anyway. The angel is not in you, but the Spirit of God is in you. So, in the voice of the Spirit, you will see if, of course, there will be a language of familiarity, and there will be a nearness that you will not miss it. Do you know that the one that is near is the one we think is not spectacular enough? It was. Let me hear something. The way I'm hearing you. Thou shalt. An angel, for example, that, you know, made C, made PH in English. I'm joking, though. I made PhD in English, just say, "Where will you went?" I'm joking. Anyway, so you look at the Acts 10 and the Acts 8, by both Peter and Philip, where was the spirit within? Is that clear? What about the angels? In the spirit, but not in. So you can have an experience in the spirit that is not in your spirit. Do you understand? Your spirit is involved, but it's not in your spirit. Or your soul, that is your spiritual component, which includes your mind, is involved, but not your spirit. But not in your spirit. Let me repeat what I said. When the Spirit of God addresses you on a matter, you will not have a single inkling whether it was Him speaking. You won't even act by faith. I believe. You will know. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's look at one time and I'm closing on that. Now, suppose why are we taking the book of Acts? We'll see it later. The book of Acts, just like leadings, okay? The book of Acts presents to us the examples we can use. It is not doctrinal. That is why we are examining those experiences the way we are. We'll from next week or the week after, we'll begin to look at it in far more technical details. But just pay attention. Look at Acts again. Acts. Hold on one minute, please. Okay, look at Acts 7. No, leave Acts 7. Let's go to Acts 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. And behold, and hold not your peace, for I am with you. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Again, look at the words. They were clear. They were not reported speech. Are you following this? Okay. That was verse 9 and 10. Look at Acts 23 verse 11. So even in a vision, observe, is it a reported speech? Acts 23 verse 11. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Behold, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so must you testify also at Jerusalem, at Rome. Have you discovered again that it is not, it's a direct speech, it's not reported. It's not a third party information, it's not a second pronoun, second person pronoun. He said, I am with you. I have much people. You will testify of me. Very clear. Look at Acts 9. Verse 5. I am Jesus that you persecute. Of course, Saul, verse 4. Why do you persecute me? I am Jesus that you persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Verse 6, arise and go to the city, shall be told thee what you must do. Now look at verse 10, Ananias, Acts 9. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Now every time someone says Lord, go and look at the Lord though. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go to Street Sorcery, which is called Street, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and on his side. He said, Lord, I've heard many things of this man and all that. Now look at verse 15. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Again, look at very clear use of words in how things were said. But let's look at something again. Acts 11, 28. And there stood up, just this is an observation I want you to just take home with you. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there will be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now look at the word signified by the Spirit. Meanwhile, look at 24. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added or was added unto the Lord. You discover in the same text, you find the word Holy Ghost and Spirit. Why that use of words? Look at Acts 16, verse 7. If you observe, you notice the word Spirit always deals with an information or a disclosure or revelation. And the word Holy Ghost in the book of Acts almost all the time deals with utterance. You observe it. Look at Acts 16. Okay, Acts 13. And the Holy Ghost said, verse 2. Being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, verse 4. Acts 13, verse 2 and 4. But look at Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Mysia, and the Spirit suffered them not. How would you say Holy Ghost and Spirit? Because the terms have to do with utterance and revelation. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assured, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So you discover the word Spirit deals with the term for revelation. Whereas we have the Holy Ghost, it deals with utterance. We see that distinction, how it goes in the book of Acts. So, when you have a vision or a revelation, in this regard, I quote, you have a responsibility to distinguish. You have a responsibility to distinguish. And then you also have a further responsibility to know how to use an information or a disclosure you have in a vision. That is a divinely granted appearance. So you have a duty to investigate. And that's why we're going to look at dreams. Dreams will fall in this category. Things you see and beings you saw and voices you heard. You have a responsibility to distinguish things that you have heard. Now, let's go over something we have said so we can close on that. We said that when he comes to the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of God, let us speak, you will have clarity. It always deals with a disclosure and information given. Clarity. You will have clarity. You will know. You will know. And then, like we said earlier, you will not have a single ounce of doubt. Because that's how he speaks. You know, Jesus said that my sheep know me, they hear my voice and they follow me. It is inborn in you to know that voice. There is no teaching that will make you know it. The teaching will just put your attention on what you know. Oftentimes, like I said when we started, that we look for the spectacular and then we miss the supernatural. Amen. So may I recognize the voice of God. I am born by the Spirit. I can distinguish voices that are of God, and I can also distinguish a voice that is from God. Amen. I'm not led in life by visions or dreams, though I make use of them in a way that will profit my walk with God. But primarily, I know the voice of God. Amen. I'm not led by an angel or led by a dream or a vision. I'm intelligent to use visions well and dreams well. I'm intelligent to walk in the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. Look for your neighbor and share with them. That's what you just learned. A few minutes.